Blog Talk Radio.
Dear Lord, hear my prayers. For I am a patriot, Lord, and I won't bow down nor apologize to the cowards that try to take away our unalienable, God-given rights and freedoms. I will stand with my brothers and sisters, with arms, if we must, to defend our Constitution and our way of life in this great republic from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Dear Lord, I ask that you shield us and protect us with your armor. Take us from the darkness and guide us with your ever so divine light as we restore this republic for which it does stand. That is one nation under you, God, with all liberties and justice for all mankind. Amen. This is Ricochet. Thank you.
Welcome to Wildcard Command Radio. It's been one big week in America. We've seen all kinds of things and nothing that says we do not need to awaken the sleeping giant. By now, we've put out information that should bring you to the point where you understand three basic concepts. One, in time of trouble, it's the guy down the street who you're going to have to sit here and work with because nobody's going to come. We saw that in South Carolina. They went up around the governors. They went up in Columbia. They went up in the big cities. But out where the folks live, all they asked them was, what's your FEMA number? So now we need to sit back and look again at the sleeping giant. Who is the sleeping giant? That sleeping giant is every man or woman who has served their nation, either as in the military, in the State Department services, any type of thing where they learned how to take care of themselves. Every law enforcement officer, whether he be the cop on the beat or a senior FBI agent or a senior CIA station chief, they all got out and they all have one thing in common today. This is something you got to look at. They're all considered possible homegrown terrorists. It's hard to believe this. It's hard to believe that in this day and age, that a nation that we have served for so many years would actually put pen and ink on paper and say, you could be a terrorist. So could Daffy Duck. But a terrorist for who? By now, you should have had an opportunity to go through your neighborhood and put maps together of it so you know where everybody's at. You've had an opportunity to go up and down the street and talk to people and decide whether they are going to be part of helping you or whether they're going to pack the kids in the car and head for the hills. But this is all something that you and I are doing. By now, you've identified all of these people, whether they be doctors or nurses or whatever they are, just even if they don't want to be take part, knowing who they are is important. Because when the electricity goes out, you can't go anywhere. The cars won't go, can't get gas. And if they did, the police wouldn't let them on the road because they've got a state of emergency and you got to stay home. That's what they did in South Carolina. They told them to stay home until they were told to move. Then they evacuated them. Where did they go? Don't know. Never found them. I hope they got back. But one of the fears that strikes throughout the Patriot movement, we call them the FEMA camps. They had a name back when Colonel Oliver North was appearing before the Congress. A congressman, I believe from Ohio, asked him a question. He said, "Colonel North, we have noticed that your section of the national security has been upgrading the old camps that were used in World War II to house the Japanese families." And we were, and Oliver North, he says, "There is a plan. But what happens if all of a sudden there's this enormous breakdown in government, say, of Mexico, and all those people rush into this nation? Well, we can't absorb them. So we are bringing these facilities up to where they're, if not comfortable, they're at least adequate for housing, so they can put these people in there until the emergency is over and we can send them back home." At which time, Senator Onuru woke up, and as the head of the committee, he told them, "Do not ask those questions again. They're not on the list." And we went on. We know that during Vietnam, and that these camps were used to put other people in. Well, if I and you and Bob down the street are now to be considered possible homegrown terrorists, we have to assume they're for us. However, you got to understand, there's a logistics problem here. And that problem is that the people who run those facilities, the people who man those facilities, and the people who rush out here and put people in them, they got a problem. Because the sleeping giant is not asleep. He's awake. He may not have got up off the couch, and he may be still holding that Miller beer can in one hand, his gun in his belt, and his Bible in his other hand. But he's looking, and he's watching. So if they come to get up there and get you, they've got a problem if you've got these teams. Why? Because to go into a house, manpower-wise, you need to isolate that house. How do you isolate that house when every neighbor in your neighborhood walks out on the front porch with a 12-gauge? It takes four to hit the door, and after the initial four to hit the door, and they clear the first room, they clear the kitchen, the guy on the back door, outside the back door, holding a rifle on the door, sounds off that the back is secured. It takes three men per room to check the rest of the houses. That's a lot of people. If there is a team, it's not enough people, because they got to get out of that house too. And this is why I tell you, and everybody tells you, the most important thing you can do is have a group. That group needs to be people that are, that know what's going on, that are willing to stand up and walk over and ask the guy. When he says, "Please stand back, this is official police business," and says, "And exactly what police business is that? I live next door, or I live across the street." These are the people that will tell, make them make the decision that maybe they didn't bring enough guys. Maybe that AMRAC parked in the middle of Jerry's front yard with his wife out yonder beating on it with a hoe is really a more of a hindrance than a help. And how are we going to get it out now that those two guys parked that truck in the front road? Once they word spreads that this neighborhood or that neighborhood now has a community protection team. And by community protection team, we mean homegrown terrorists with guns, with plans. Homegrown terrorists, though, are not necessarily who we think they are, because we just imported a whole group of them. I'm down in the I-95 corridor at Fort Bragg. West of me and south of me are two counties. Between the two, they were allowed to accept 1,200 Somali Muslims. We're coming up finding that a lot of these people, these buses they come on, there ain't no little girls, there's no little boys, there's no children, there's no old folks, there's nothing but grown men, 18 to 56 years of age. That sounds like an army. That does not sound like a refugee. You're looking in Europe. They got Europeans. Europeans haven't had guns ever. And now they can't even buy one because they're all bought up by their neighbors. So let's get our teams out. And all we have to do to form those teams, we don't need to get, you know, run out. And we just need to have a plan. So let's go on a little further into these teams. We've already agreed to the fact that if things get tough, some people are going to pack and stack. They're going to throw the mom and the kids and all their valuables, and they're going to throw them in the back of a U-Haul, and they're going to leave town. As they go by, you raise your hand and say, hey, if you're leaving, can we use your garage for a hospital? At worst, we'll put people in there to sleep. At best, we'll make sure nobody gets in there that don't need to be in there. And he'll toss you his keys. He doesn't plan on coming back. He don't think things are going to ever get better. But just in case, it's nice to know he's got that little the two on the bottom of the deck. These are things that you can put these teams will do for now. Those that stay, those that have no choice but to stay. You know, there are people out there in our communities, good working people. They're out there in their gardens every day, but they don't have a job because they're disabled. But even a disabled old guy sitting on a front porch with a Remington 719 shotgun across his lap, petting his dog, can watch that street to see who's coming down it. If he's got a radio sitting next to him, or he's got a telephone with Zello running on it, he can holler and say, hey, we got three squad cars or a squad car, or we got this. And when a squad car rolls in, somebody on the team needs to walk out, not carrying a gun, of course. You can put it in the holster and walk out there, and they pull up to you and ask him, hi, officer, can I help you? Because one thing you got to understand, and he does, his name's on that list, too. He is a possible homegrown terrorist. So let's get these teams in advance. We need to start sharing, okay? We got our group together. Everybody knows what they've done. We've got everybody's house has got a range card by the back door. Why a range card? Purpose of a range card is a little diagram that shows fields of fire. You know, like from Bill's back door, laying on the floor, he's got this little tree to your left, then to the right, he's got the end of that fence. He don't want to shoot behind that because he may have a neighbor out there. How do you decide where he shoots from? That's protection. He's not a combat soldier. He's not wearing 400 pounds of body armor or dressed up in one of those little police ninja suits with all the padding. He's just like you and I, just regular people. So each time you do one more step in putting this team together, you're ahead of the game. Now let's expand it. If we can go over and get the people on the street over to the left there and get them into their own group, then we don't need to have people shooting on the back, guarding the back of that. We can move them someplace else where they're needed. And if we can expand this to, say, all 9 blocks, put a grid line around it, we've got control of the fire hydrant so nobody can turn them off. We've got control of the power distribution so nobody can turn it off. We've got the major access roads that we can lock off to make sure that all of those people come down that are supposed to. Now we put together what is known as our operations team. Defense is not sitting there waiting for somebody to shoot at you. Defense, it's called now active defense. Active defense is a plan whereby if we hear them rioting on the streets, then everybody goes to their position. The ladies open up the cooking facility. They open up the hospital. They get everything ready. The other ladies and women go out there, they're on guard duty, go out and get in their positions where they're protected. They're not standing in the middle of a field waiting for somebody to pick you off at a distance. All these things are part of the team, and it's your team. You created it. You put this team together. Now, let's share it. Let's take 4 guys. One guy in charge of intel and the plan. He grabs your book for your neighborhood. All you need is just a little piece of notebook. Just put something in, some little protective sheets to drop so that you don't have to keep unfold them out of your back pocket. Put them in this book. It sits inside the garage right there on the side where everybody knows where it's at. You grab that book. You get the combo guy. You get the engineer. And let's go across the street. And let's go to that neighborhood and let's talk to some people over there. Let's get them one. Because I would much rather be shooting at zombies or terrorists or whoever and know that when they turn around to look at me that somebody's going to light them up on the other side. That'll move them way on out of range. That makes me safer and that makes them safer. So we start the teams on the cross the road. It doesn't take much. And just like I said when we started, there only needs to be one person doing this to start with. You'd like to get all of them together, but everybody's got a different reason. In 1774, only 3% of the people took part in the war, but a whole lot more than that. Mended shoes, cast lead into bullets, collected all kinds of powder and built and made burning powders, made food, made medicine packs, poultices, bandages, and that's what we got to have. When you do that, we won't be like it is over there in Europe right now. They've got hundreds of these immigrants, they claim, burning facilities because they're not adequate to their needs. Last I heard, the guy supposedly came out of a bombed-out shell in a town in Syria. A place with beds and sheets. It cannot be that much worse than where he was living. Unless he was not really living in one of those houses in Syria, but came from a more productive background. We take and we spread this and put it on the road. That one person, if we get one person across the street and have him, and he gets started, and he builds the book for his neighborhood. And then when something happens, it's his turn. When all they hear all the things, when something happens, electricity goes out, what happens in your neighborhood? Same as in mine. Everybody walks out the street, and they practice scratching their behind with their right hand and picking their nose with their left. And after about 10 minutes of boredom, they'll switch. Well, if they got a guy also that can get them started, while we protect this side, maybe we run a couple guys over to help him get everything set up. It benefits us. The bigger our area, the bigger the number of people, the less danger any one person will have. But this community protection team is the way to do it. Once we have teams for 5 miles in any direction, then we start looking at what we call active defense teams. These are guys who, while these 600,000 muzzies or whatever they are or whoever may be is sitting out there in a road waiting for somebody to come help them get into here because we're denying them their right to rob our houses, rape our wild women, and steal our guns. Maybe we help them move on. Maybe somebody starts powdering them from the right, and another group powders them from the left. They move back even further. We can move back to about 2 miles away, and then leave behind somebody to pay attention to what they're doing and who brings them supplies. All of this is part of your coming will, because what we want to make sure of is we don't end up like they did in Bosnia and Herzegovina. There's a great site. It's called It's called the Shit Hit the Fan Plan School. Put that in your Google engine and look for it. The guy was there. We don't need somebody with a firing platform up in the top of somebody's attic shooting out between two slats that have been moved for convenience so he can shoot, picking off our kids and our young people just because he can. We want somebody that can go up there, pull him out, let him take his rifle and scope back with him as an aid to walk. But this is all yours and mine. And if we don't do it, when it's all over, there won't be anything. And we'll come to the United Nations. They'll tell you what colors clothes to wear, what colors everything you're supposed to do. Now, they weren't there when they were shooting, of course, but they'll be there then. So if we can finish this up and still have these groups functional, then we go down and we vote in our new mayor. We vote in our new county. We vote up our sheriff. We give them some of us as deputies to work with. And things keep on going better and better. But it's up to us. It's up to the individuals. When I say sleeping giant, you mean the heroes with 10,000 medals? I'm talking about the guy that knows how to clean a rifle that can show everybody in the neighborhood. I'm talking about the guy that knows how to talk on a radio so that you say a limited number of words to get the maximum message across. I'm talking about the guy that knows about explosive. What size do you put them on? How big a wad? What's it take to drink a certain size or a certain type of material? These are the guys that have the experience. Who knows what the police procedures are on this function or that function? All of this is something that you and I have got to put together. A good place to find a lot of this information. It sounds like a commercial, but it's not. It was built for that purpose. It's called RAMSite. RAMSITE. Throw that into your search engine. When you get there, sign in. Go over and sign in into the Resource Center. There are 5,000 plus PDF documents, videos, links to YouTube movies on how to do anything you want to know up there. And if you see something that you really like, download it. Get you a couple thumb drives or some little of these small micro memories, put them over there, download them so that if you have to do this with a generator running and a small laptop in your garage to teach it, let's do it. But we're getting down to the last couple minutes. I want to take this opportunity to tell everybody here, the same thing goes for here. Go to blogtalkradio.com/wildcardcommand. Once you get on that site, you'll see all of the old these different programs. There's a function over there. It looks like a lightning bolt out of a cloud, and it's called, that's for download. Click on that. These are 24, 25 minutes. Probably less if you're on a decent internet server, you can get one in about two minutes to download. Put those on thumb drive. Use them as your library. Next week, what I want to do is I want to go in detail through that book, that community book of yours, because why do you make a book? If they get lucky and they figure out who's in charge, I bet you can't guess who they're going to shoot first. But if everybody knows the information, then that don't make any sense. So the more people know how to protect your neighborhood, what if you get up tomorrow morning and walking down the stairs, you break your leg. When things hit the fan, you're not going to be out there in the middle of the street. You're not John Wayne. They're not going to get you a little litter and four privates carry you around to point things out. So let's have a book. Here's Bill. You take the book, and this is what you do it like this. That makes it work. I want to thank you for listening. And if anybody out there has any suggestions of other type programs that you'd like to hear in addition to what I'm doing, because all I'm doing is taking step-by-step instructions and running them up for these teams, because your community protection team is the most important thing that you're going to do this year, because it's a new answer instead of the old answer of the ghillie pursuit and long rifles of kiss the wife goodbye, load up the rucksack, grab the bag, jump in the car, go out and meet the Mike Nine and the people in the woods while mama takes the kids to grandma's. That don't work anymore. You need to be at home protecting your family and your people. I wish you all a good night. I'll see you next week. This is Safe Talker out.